the past 20 years or so, we have had composers demonstrating to us in every way conceivable that whatever we do is music. We know now that any sound can follow any sound, and that any movement can follow any movement. One can set up a performance situation in such a way that even a conversation is a piece of music. Once we know that virtually any activity we engage in can be considered music, that any sound can follow any sound, this prompts us to ask ourselves, why does one sound or movement work so beautifully after another? Cage relates a story. Before studying Zen, a mentor mountains are mountains. While studying Zen, everything becomes confused. A story. After studying Zen, men are men and mountains are mountains. A student asks the teacher, what is the difference before studying Zen and after studying Zen? The teacher answered, no difference. Except your feet are the little bit off the ground. A story. Cage relates a story. The application of the Zen tail to music is clear. If you are a composer writing in sonata or fugue form, before Cage exploded previous definitions of music, you are doing so out of conditioning, doing so because it is what your teachers taught you to do. Indeed, if you didn't write in those forms, your teachers would have told you it wasn't music. Let us not forget, it was recently as 10 years ago, rock was not considered music, but noise. After Cage and his colleagues established a foundation for their ideas, a refreshing vocabulary was made possible. In addition to musical sounds, noise became music as well. Film was theater, was dance, was music, etc. We know now that any sound can follow any sound, that virtually any activity we choose to become involved in can be considered music or musical composition. We now can ask ourselves a new question. Why does one sound or movement work so beautifully after another? In other words, having finally finished with this passion for expanding the sound palette, we can go back to the old forms with a fresh approach. If I were to write in sonata form, I would do so out of choice rather than out of conditioning. However, even with this new knowledge, many would personally never write in sonata, fugue, or symphony form, or any other traditional form for that matter. The old masters have dealt with them well enough. Why purposely write regressive music? A generation of composers spent the best part of their careers helping to produce an intellectual climate, enabling us to compose new permutations of the old forms, or completely new forms for that matter. This doesn't mean it's wrong to borrow liberally from the best the old masters have to offer. This is to point out that copying old forms simply because they haven't been used for a period of time is no substitute for new ideas. What about the new art music, which is not really rock, not really jazz, not really pop? What is it really? art has become an odious word to many in the music world. Perhaps the time has come to start feeling comfortable about being an artist again. What I am talking about is not art rock, a form which hardly deserves to be graced with the word art. Perhaps what is called art rock would be more aptly labeled naive rock. What we are talking about is art music, in the sense that Léonine, Perrotin, Giles Barnaby, John Bull, Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, Berg, Webern, Stockhausen, Boulez, Cage, Young, Amateur, Glass, Reich, Lussier, and Behrman write art music. What is the new electric art music? It must be first said that we are not trying to establish a hierarchy between the new art music and other forms of music. It must be first said that we are not trying to establish a hierarchy between the new electric art music and other forms of music. If you're a composer of pop music and trying to get a song on the charts, it's something you spend all your working hours thinking about. It's not any easier for a pop composer to have a hit than for an art composer to make an innovative masterpiece. The parameters peculiar to each are equally complex and demanding as far as the intrinsic worth of the various musical forms. Is Presley's Jailhouse Rock any less eternal than Symphony No. 4 by Charles Ives? During the height of the women's movement in the 60s and 70s, I thought that because men and women are equal, that also meant they are the same. I confused equality with sameness. Men and women are indeed quite different. Different species, practically, in fact. Similarly, while there is no difference in inherent value between rock, jazz, pop, and art music and their offshoots, this doesn't mean they are the same. Their concerns, what each form is trying to achieve, is quite different. However, we spent almost the entire 60s and much of the 70s breaking down these differences, not only between musical idioms, but even the various art forms. It was difficult to do. Each camp was fiercely guarding their boundaries. Everything became pleasantly confused, with everyone doing their very best to play in the places that they weren't supposed to. Specifically with art and rock, since it's what I know best. During the 70s, certain rockers got sick of anti-cerebralness, which characterized their genre, and searched for validity and intellectual fulfillment in the art world of Lower Manhattan. On the other hand, a number of art composers were losing interest in their audiences who would listen to any old shit in the name of art. Rock was a welcome addition. good shot in the arm for many. Playing for an audience who didn't care about formal concerns and wanted good, powerful music was a much-needed exercise for the art composer. Now, in addition to having the alternate art space as a performance venue, the composer had the rock club as well. One of the results of his changing of context was the new electric art music. One would think that with so much mixing of musical idioms over the past few years, there would now be some confusion over musical identity, and indeed there is. With jazz composers playing in the art spaces and rock clubs, with art composers playing in the jazz and rock clubs, with rock composers playing in the art and jazz spaces, no one knows what to think. Certainly, the musicians are happy with the additional venues and audience. However, with a few notable exceptions, everyone has emerged from this period with their identities intact, though perhaps their feet are a little bit off the ground. If Stockhausen and his friends close the Eurodramatic tradition, starting with Bach and ending in Darmstadt in the late 50s, and Cage and his colleagues afforded us the opportunity for infinite expansion of musical vocabulary, art composers of today have decided to diminish emphasis on vocabulary and start using the new forms and materials available to them. And what a variety of material there is. Although it may seem commonplace to us today, even 10 years ago, the Ramayana monkey chant, much Eastern Indian music, certainly Balinesian gamelan music, were major revelations for many of us. The art music composer, instead of being concerned with the notion of each sound being a sound unto itself, is now excited by the interpolation of complex musical ideas. Another way of saying this would be, instead of the art composer being concerned with a serial technique of individual sounds, the organization of a series of ordered tones, amplitude levels, and rhythms in specified predetermined order, the composer is interested in the next step. Instead of ordering the various individual sounds in music, the composer of the new electric art music is more concerned with ordering the sounds of the vernacular. The art music composer of today is no longer limited to the vocabulary of the avant-garde. We are free to draw upon the sounds of normal music as we please. The art music composer. Certain composers I know out of a jazz background, writing in forms which would most accurately be termed serial music. However, the serial music they write is not the serial music of Milton Babbitt, Karlheinz Stockhausen, or Pierre Boulez. The serial music has a special aspect added to it because of the composer's unique jazz musical background of American music and improvisation. While these composers would never write a piece the way Babbitt, Boulez, and Stockhausen would, the reverse is also true. Similarly with art music, When an art composer writes a rock-like piece, although it is not rock, a rocker never would have thought initially to write such music, because it is not in his or her background or experience to have such an idea. Rock ideas come out of a rock experience in life. Art ideas come out of an art experience. And by art, I don't mean visual art. I mean musical art. When a rocker writes art music, the music is imbued with a feeling which only someone can give to a piece whose primary and initial musical experience is rock. What I'm trying to say is, even when composers switch over and work in other musical idioms, they are affected by their initial learning experience, producing a unique music which cannot be made in any other way. One may stop and ask at this point, what about the composer whose background is simultaneously out of both classical and rock music? I would say that person is very fortunate to have such a broad musical experience. However, the ideas fundamental to rock, jazz, and art have places where they meet, in other places where they're not the least bit concerned with each other. The individual composer must, at some point, decide what he likes about each music and take a stand. A person in a music without a point of view is boring, as far as I'm concerned. To take a stand for the music you believe in isn't to reject the music of others or to say that your ideas are better than theirs. I read a recent article in Face magazine where the prominent rock composer, Mr. Brian Eno, says that all electronic art music of the 50s and 60s is boring, and that it wasn't until popular music got a hold of electronics that the field became interesting. He also said rock composers are the only real innovators, not art composers. Such a statement is elitism in reverse, and perhaps reflects the composer's own insecurity with music in general. As far as boring electronic art music is concerned, perhaps Mr. Eno refers to Edgar Varèse's Poem Electronique, composed in 1958. I hardly think so. Or perhaps he refers to Xenakis's Occident Orient, or Borer 1, composed around the same time. Or perhaps to Karlheinz Stockhausen's Hymnum, composed in the 60s. Or perhaps to Pauline Oliveros's 104. Again, anyone who is familiar with these giants of electronic art music would laugh in Mr. Eno's face. Mr. Eno would do well to sit at the feet of these masters and learn a lesson or two. The real lesson to be learned from this is, just as there is much boring rock music, so there is also boring electronic art music. Good work in any genre is the exception rather than the rule. And when a composer switches from one genre of music to another, he increases the difficulty of doing good work in his new field by at least tenfold. I challenge any rock composer to write a piece as good as Edgar Varèse's Octante. By the same token, I challenge any art composer to write a piece as good as Edgar Varèse's as good as Chuck Berry's Rule Over Beethoven. I challenge any rock or art composer draw to peace with the scope or vision of John Coltrane's ascension. My point, of course, is it would be impossible to win this challenge. It takes years of work to master any of these genres. And one doesn't switch from one to the other as one changes the code. Each composer has reason to be proud of the work done in his particular genre and has no ground for attacking the other genre of music except out of personal insecurity or perhaps the need of the to have an axe to grind. To get back to art music on our first listening, the new electric art music may sound no different than pop, jazz, rock, or in some cases, even easy listening. In the case of one of our composer friend of mine, his music has a popular, easy listening feel to it. A number of his professional colleagues didn't like the music. They thought it was too commercial, but he was selling out. On the other hand, commercial producers who heard the same music didn't like it either because they thought the music was too weird. My friend's colleagues didn't like his music because of his vernacular vocabulary. They sincerely couldn't see any social redeeming value or underlying formality. The commercial producers, on the other hand, felt an inherent formality foreign to them. What art composers today have done is extremely complex. Through direct personal experience and research, they have apprehended the concerns peculiar to other forms of music, such as rock, jazz, pop, music of Eastern cultures, and incorporated these concerns into their own music, made them their own as it were, but adding their own experience as art composers, all adding up to a new direction in music. And by apprehending these other forms of music, I don't mean that they just apprehended it. They went out and learned the goddamn music. They went out and learned what Eastern music was, what these music of others. I'm not talking about Barney Childs, you know, who just music for jazz orchestra. I'm talking about someone who actually went and did the experience and spent 3 or 4 years of her life in this experience. Figured out what it was. They made it have a relevance to their own music. I like to relate my own experience in the rock world as an art composer. At first, I wanted to hide the fact that I was an art composer. We were all so sick of art music anyway, and rock seemed so vital. I didn't want to play art. I wanted to play rock. I did everything I could do to immerse myself in the lifestyle and world of a rocker. Eventually, I realized I couldn't deny my background. I had to be proud of what I was and honest about it. Deny my background. I learned a lot from the rocker and from the rock world, just as I feel they learned a lot from the art composer. Indeed, certain things I experienced in the rock world changed my approach to life and music, and will surely have an indelible effect on my career. I can honestly say I did not go into the rock clubs in the role of an observer.
I lived in those clubs for 5 years. The conclusion I came to during that period was, rather than reject art, why not include everything? After a while, when I played in front of an audience, I did not do so as an artist or a rocker. I did so as a person who obviously was classically trained, obviously with experience in the rock clubs, obviously a tenor. I was so relieved that I could simply be who I was, obviously the music that was important. I'm not unique in this experience. This happened to other friends of mine who had a classical background, going into jazz or rock contests and living to tell this story. Some of us have chosen not to go back to art. Some have considered the jazz or rock world more gratifying to them personally. To change the subject, when one reads Herman Helmholtz's On the Sensation of Tone, a book upon whose principles modern acoustics is still based, one finds a clear exposition of the theory of sound. Says Helmholtz in the introduction, when one has reached the top of the mountain, the path seems clear and obvious. However, while actually on the path up the road, it is a long, dark journey. Without becoming overly heroic, let us consider how this principle applies to creating music as well.
A creative artist goes through 3 periods in the development of work. First, the period of discovery of an idea and a wild romance with it. This is usually a very exciting period for both the artist and the public. Then, there follows a period of development. This is when the artist is past the wild romance with the idea and has achieved a greater control of material. Then there is the final period of decadence, when the artist has achieved a high level of mastery and sophistication over the initial idea. It is soon after this point that the artist, if wise, will drop the initial idea and go on to something new. The artist realizes there is no way the new and fresh idea can be as sophisticated as the older and more developed one. However, the artist is saved. The excitement of the new idea generates and makes up for its initial lack of control of material. Indeed, in the initial phase of a new period of music, when the borders of musical thought are about to be pushed, artist, critic, and public alike must put aside their critical crutches and be willing to take a plunge into the dark. It is this very plunge which brings about the unique idea, where the conceptual framework must be reconsidered and changed. This step has been taken by art composers on the music scene all over the world in various ways for the past few years. These composers have been substituting the previous avant-garde vocabulary with the new vernacular one. However, this new vocabulary has pitfalls to be watched out for. Dealing with the formal aspect of music must be carefully considered. Notably with the tape delay music of Terry Riley, the electronic music of Martin Subotnick,
the phase music of Steve Reich and the process music of Phil Glass, it was discovered that it is possible to write accessible music, which is still art. A revelation to many. Finally, weird music which sounds good. Writing in this genre also had the added attraction of having lots of people flocking to your concerts, rather than the usual hundred or so that are capable of appreciating your concerts, and apprehending to your concerts, the ideas of more advanced work. Locking to your concerts, this cause composer to your concerts, sophistication to your and integrity, locking to examine their motives, locking to your concerts, in choosing to work with your populist material, locking to your concerts, locking to your concerts, locking to your concerts, locking to your. While it is relatively easy to write pretty music, it is not so easy to write pretty music, which one can listen to 100 times without getting bored. And the same I might add is true with noise music. To maintain a continued interest, it is imperative that there be a strong idea and rigorous intellect behind the veneer of sound. A musical work which goes beyond being a period piece will be truly riveting, no matter which decade it is listened to in. For example, consider the rock song, which is popular when it is made, but forever fades into obscurity after a year or so. Compare this with a song like She Loves You, Yeah, 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 or Rover Beethoven is an example of work which goes beyond period into eternity. Similarly with art music, compare Constant Human, Stockhausen's piece, whose primary interest Similarly with art music, compare Study 1 and Study 2, Stockhausen's piece, whose primary interest rested in its being the first piece of notated electronic music, with his Klavierstück 1-4, a piece for piano, as intellectually strenuous as it is viscerally exciting. If a piece is concerned purely with formal issues, it runs the risk of being interesting as idea, but not as music, and later on probably interesting as neither. On the other hand, if the major concern of a piece is only the sound, for example, a piece concerned only with being gorgeous, or a piece only concerned with being ugly, but with no idea behind it, this piece is merely a bauble for the audiences to be infatuated with for the moment, but to forget about later when something new comes along. To be sure, what is needed in art music is a combination of idea and gut. Although the new electric art music benefits from the raw power of rock and popular music, it must be accompanied by some underlying idea which rests behind the actual sound and accesses space. The composer of the new electric art music concerned themselves with a wide variety of musical issues. They also share a number of things in common. First, there is a veneer of accessibility, which is a hallmark of this new style of music. Secondly, the work demonstrates a deep formal concern. Finally, there is an integrity to the self, which is evident in the work. If the music does not work on all three of these levels simultaneously, the composition is not successful. For example, in philosophy, there are a number of levels to appreciate a work like Sartre's Being in Nothingness. One can enjoy the work as a book on psychology, if one has no prior knowledge of philosophy. However, if one is familiar with the work of Husserl, Heidegger, Kant, Aristotle, and Plato, here is another level of pleasure in reading this text. Similarly, with the new electric art music, there is no need to have a profound knowledge of music history. One can appreciate the work on a purely emotional level. However, if one is familiar with the work of Webern, Perez, Ives, Partsch, Stockhausen, Cage, Young, the Semi-Cartesian, and others, one is able to partake in the exquisite subtleties of the music. One is able to apprehend the formal issues at stake, to appreciate how the compositions are pushing human thought to new frontiers. This brings me to the subject of technique and mastery of musical craft, and the belief that mastering and getting beyond technique leads to greater freedom in musical composition. Take, for example, someone without musical training, but with a knack for making sound. No matter how beautiful the pure sound of this individual's the formal development is likely to be extremely naive.
The pure sound of this whole.
I know many
sound of this whole.
The pure sound of this whole.
Of persons in this predicament.
The pure sound.
On the other hand,
the pure sound of this whole.
Consider the
pure sound of this whole.
The pure sound.
Consider the problem.
Pure sound
of a person.
The pure
who is enslaved by technique.
The pure sound.
I have a friend who's the son of a great European composer.
Pure sound of this whole.
His father taught him well.
The pure sound.
My friend can write
pure sound.
Any style of music,
pure sound.
You name it.
The pure sound.
Sonata form.
The pure
fugue form.
The pure sound.
Renaissance.
The pure
Siemens variations.
The pure sound of his.
Gregorian chant.
Pure sound of his.
A man, he can do it.
The pure sound of his.
However, although he might be able to write in any style, he has no idea which style is truly his own.
The pure sound of his.
While training is important, it is also important to get beyond
the pure sound of his soul. The pure
if I sing an interval,
the pure sound of
his soul. I can tell you it's a perfect fifth. It was a perfect fifth, right? Okay. Because of my training. But when I'm playing music, I don't think in my head I'm playing a perfect fifth. Intuitively. However, if someone asks me what I played, I can draw upon my training and write it out for this person. While being able to do this is not a requirement of music, it makes exchange of ideas and communication between people a hell of a lot easier. Musical knowledge leads to control of the composer's materials, ideas and desires. While all the musical knowledge we can absorb is important, at the same time, we don't have to be stuffy about it. The job of the person who grew up playing by reading music is to get away from the written page and learn to hear, learn how to improvise. The job of the person who grows up knowing how to improvise or how to play by the ear alone must learn to read the music. Similarly, while it is interesting to see how a visual artist handles, everyone needs to master the skills in as many musical fields as possible, particularly theory and improvisation. In the 60s, we learned that anyone capable of banging on trinkets is a composer, along with the ideas that everything is music. However, just because this person is banging on trinkets is a composer, doesn't mean I have to like the music. Similarly, while it is interesting to see how a visual artist handles performance as a kinetic extension of static work, or how it is interesting to see a choreographer handling musical composition as dance. For the most part, I would rather see these same people doing visual art or choreography rather than performance in music. Just as it is ridiculous to think a person who isn't trained in mathematics can do interesting pacemaking work in that field, referring specifically to the art music field, I can say that without exception, a person who isn't trained in music and compositional techniques is not capable of producing work, exhibiting profound musical thought, doing work which pushes the field to its limits. Similarly, while it's true, a new genre, to reprogram. Degrees who can barely read music. By the way, these same painters, the smart ones, learned how to draw. The composers learned how to read music. Thank God things are changing. For a while we got bored of technique, and with for good reason, because there was too much emphasis placed on it. And we became interested in natural sound and movement. And now the feeling is, who wants to listen or watch is something we can do at home? Point has been made. In conclusion, I have something to say, and I'd like to say this. One of the main points of this reading is to say that there do, in fact, exist distinctions between musical genres, which can loosely be labeled rock, jazz, pop, country, western, and art music, to name a few. And one of the differences between art music and other musical forms, and what makes art music particularly hard to label, is that the art music is inclusive of other forms, and the other genres of music are by and large exclusive. For example, one can bend the definition of what rock or some other musical genre is. But there exists a threshold where if you push the definition too far, it ceases to be rock. The beauty of art music is that it can include the vocabulary of other musical genres without actually being those other genres. This is what makes categorizing art music so difficult. If a person from the street casually asks what a rock composer does and the composer answers rock, the questioner still has a fairly general idea of where the composer's head is at. But if the same questioner as an art composer, what type of music he performs, or she. The art composer is usually very hard put to answer because of the inclusive definition of art music. And indeed, if any of you people out there say that you do art music, you're open to attack. I'll tell you, you know, it sounds like you're a fascist or something, if you even say that. And even when you answer, the term you use is likely to be appropriated the next year by the local radio station. WKCR's phrase, the new urban contemporary art music, is an example of this occurrence. Are we to assume that Charles Warren's group for contemporary music plays all the latest WKCR hits? It might be nice if it did, but I don't know. What I'm saying is that over the last few years, thoughtful composers of art music have been having an identity crisis. A rock composer can see if he Tony when he does rock, but if an art composer says he does art music, new music, contemporary music, avant-garde music, computer music, or any of the makeshift names we've come up with over the past 20 years, this composer opens himself up to attack. Art composers produce music which claim a direct lineage to the classical composers through the centuries. It's time to stop being embarrassed by this. 20 years ago, we called this serious music, and then that was bad. We've now learned that all the genres of music are serious. Those of us who do art music have developed such feelings of guilt over how our teachers put down the other musical art forms that we've developed a form of musical masochism. We want to prove how much more liberal-minded we are than our teachers were. By denying ourselves and our heritage, it's time for this to stop. That's all I have to say in this lecture. It's a musical composition, so I'm not certain whether I should open it up to questions. But if there are questions, does anyone have a question they would like to address? Thank you all very much for coming. You've been a most attentive audience, and we thank you for being here. This is Nick Collins over here, who did the music. My name is Reese Chatham.